Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Said this week with Bill Belichick, nobody has more fun playing football, it seems, than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And his Dolphins are going to have a fun ride home.
Oh, they will.
They close their first season under Brian Flores with a win today.
Yeah, I like Brian Flores a lot. I like Chad O'Shea. I like a lot of those guys.
Absolutely.
Patrick Graham. They, you know, we've had interactions with them. They've been nothing but class being around them. That team's headed in the right direction. They got the right guy running that ship. Good for Brian Flores. He had the team ready to go. And that's a tough thing to do late in the year on the road because you look at the rest of this league, their teams are just packing in by now. But Ted Johnson and I will be on from 10 to 2 tomorrow. We're gonna get after this one. I'd tune in at 10 tomorrow because I'm pissed.
How was Monday? Were they all sorts of pissed off? I heard the very beginning of the show on Monday.
Yeah?
It was, this is going to come as a shock to you, but Zoe came out kind of with a shotgun approach. He threw out a bunch of things at once.
Oh, really?
And then they kind of focused in. But there was they had a lot
kinda.
They had a lot to get to.
All right. Sunday's game, Miami, you had a thought on that.
There was some talk as to whether or not that was the worst, among the worst regular season losses the Patriots have suffered. I take it one further, Beadle, and I think that loss on Sunday deserves to be in the conversation for worst losses of the Brady Belichick era, to which Paul Perillo, other people I spoke to about that said, no, automatically any playoff loss is worse than that one.
Agreed.
If you define loss correctly, when I say bad loss, think of it in terms of gambling as a bad beat. And then you have to redefine it. A bad beat in gambling is like, you shouldn't have lost. The odds were in your favor. Mathematically, you were supposed to win that hand, right? It's a bad beat when you factor in the Dolphins aren't a better team than you. And then you start adding in the other factors. It's a home game. It's week 17. It's not a game that you can afford to lose and still be assured of the bye, which, of course, you could not because Kansas City ended up winning their game. You've also got a team that's so banged up right now and has been banged up, especially with Julian Edelman, where you needed the extra week of rest. So now when you factor in, it's a team you should have beaten in a team you were trying to win all week long. They kept telling us it's a playoff atmosphere. Got to treat this like an early start to the playoffs. And you go out and lay that egg. At times look like you barely showed up during certain series or maybe even an entire quarter. And now you're going to tell me, no, it's a loss, but it's not that bad. It is that bad. When you lose to a better team than you in the playoffs, it's unfortunate, and your season ends, but is it a bad loss? Man, that was a bad loss today. No, it's not a bad loss when you get beat by a better team, when you get beat by the Broncos in Denver. It's unfortunate that your season ends and you don't get to go to the Super Bowl, but do you consider that a bad loss? Now, I will grant you, the Super Bowl losses are bad. And any one of those
like losing to the Giants and finishing 18-1,
both Giants losses and the Eagles loss, those are worse. But in terms of the ramifications,
how about losing to the Colts when you're up 21-3 at halftime?
Losing to the Colts is a worse loss. But I think this one deserves to be in the conversation.
So you just named four losses that are playoff losses that were bad losses.
But okay. I'm saying not the Denver loss. That's not one.
No, the two Super Bowls against the Giants.
Yeah. The two Super Bowls and
the Colts loss, the Eagles loss. That's four games.
If you talk about all the losses in Patriots history, look, the Jets loss.
I can think of a worse regular season loss than this that derailed an entire season. And maybe this one derails an entire season. But the 4th-and-2 loss at Indianapolis in the regular season ruined their whole year.
That was a bad loss. But where would you put this one in a top 10 right now? Because if you do, I'm going to make you – I'm going to
– a top 10?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, you can put it in a top 10. All right. Absolutely.
And a lot of people aren't willing to do that.
Oh, that's
crazy. They say any playoff loss is worse. Like the
There's not that many losses. Like, you got to remember that. The Patriots don't have that many losses, and they have so many that happened along the way that had little to no impact on their season.
This one could end up impacting it much more than – as much as the Colts loss, Beadle, because – without this extra week,
they've had some bad regular season losses. You know, getting blown out at Kansas City
didn't matter.
2014,
they ended up winning
bad
the Super
loss.
Bowl.
Didn't end up mattering.
Right, that's my point.
That's what I'm saying. That's sort of my point about it. There's been so many. There's been so few losses to begin with, and then there are many that seemed like horrible losses at the time, but did not impact the season. What if this ends up being that one? What if it ends up being Kansas City?
If this one ends up being the Kansas City...
Well, I'll be surprised, number one. But it could. It could still end up not mattering.
It could.
But not there yet.
No.
Maybe you're a little premature.
Certainly.
Like, if they go out and lose this weekend, oh, God, that loss... Here's a better question.
Can the Miami
loss look worse based on the result of this week's game?
Yes.
Absolutely.
But I would...
It could get worse.
If you end up winning and going to Kansas City and get beat up by Kansas City, I will still blame
That's fair.
The loss in Week 17
yes,
against
you
Miami.
Should.
So it won't all be decided after this game on Saturday. Wait, give me until Kansas City. And if they beat Kansas City, I'll say, okay, fine, it didn't matter.
Totally fine.
That didn't matter.
That's fair.
But that is my cutoff point.
Peter, which loss of 2015 was worse? The Eagles' pooch punt, mortar kick... game, not pooch pump, mortar kick game, or the
mortar
Dolphins,
kick.
Steven Jackson game.
Ooh, they're both damaging.
Because either one of those games kept them from getting home field, and they lost to the Broncos by 2 points in Denver.
Yeah, they're both damaging losses, and I think the Eagles won. I mean, at least you look at the Miami loss and you say, well, they thought there was a purpose to what they were doing in trying to run the football. Right? There was like some purpose behind it. What the hell was the purpose behind losing to the Eagles the way that they did at home? Like, what was that all about? I'd have to give the slight edge to the Eagles' loss. What about you, Jim? What do you think on that?
I think it's the Dolphins game is the worst loss because they knew they could have the one seed. And they
because
lost
it was
the game.
Later in the year because it was in the last month of the season.
It was the final week, wasn't it?
Yeah. Final week or second to final week?
Okay, either way.
I think it's second to final week.
But this one would be worse ultimately if Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Tannehill end the Patriots dynasty. That's worse.
Yeah, factor that in too. A lot of people want to point to the Jets loss.
It was the last week of the season. 20-10.
Oh,
January 3rd,
2016.
Yep. Yeah, it's bad. That's really bad. 617-779-0985.
But a lot of people want to, just one more. A lot of people say, oh, the Jets lost. When the Jets came into Gillette Stadium and beat you in the playoffs.
Ooh, that was bad, 2009.
At least they were a playoff team.
2010, right? Sorry, 2010 season.
Dolphins.
The year after the Ravens.
Dink! The Dolphins were the team that were supposed to lose every single game so that they could go. You know, who did they have dressed for that game?
You're just beating the Jets 45-3.
Yeah, you had just beaten them,
You
should have won that game. The Dolphins came in here with like 22 guys on the roster on Sunday who were either playing in the first year or they had gotten off of scrap heaps off of practice squads. I mean, this was a team of a bunch of scrubs.
Mike is in Bedford. Mike.
How you doing?
Good. What
Mike
do you got?
Mike Capobianco. How you doing? So, basically, I'm looking at this as a 20-year stretch where you got 6 Super Bowl rings, all right? These guys are playing chess, not checkers. We're looking at Miami getting 3 first-round picks next year in the draft. And I think taking a dive in the last game, regardless of home field advantage or having a bye week, okay, they're looking at the future. They see the writing on the wall with this season, okay? They've seen this type of team come through before. We might not have the legs to go through the Super Bowl, however... I do think we're putting ourselves in a better position to go up against a division rival like the Miami Dolphins with 3 first-round picks, one coming at 5. They got pushed back to 5. They have an 18, and
so
then they have like a 25.
Okay, so what's the benefit for the Patriots?
I'm just I think it was a chess move trying to put them in a tougher position with who they're going to be able to get in the first round.
Ah, okay. That's a second call this week we've taken.
Wait, is he talking about this year?
The Patriots lost the game on purpose against the Dolphins, and that it was all part of Bill's master plan.
Stop it.
I mean, I've heard some absurd, this is all part of Bill's master plan calls before. This week is the height. This is it. This is the complete lunacy of the nothing ever goes badly for this team, and anything that appears bad is only because it was done by design.
There's no way anyone actually
they lost
believed.
On purpose.
There's no one.
Yeah, of course they did. To hurt the Dolphins' draft position. Didn't you know that? Try and have them win a game. Yeah, that's what the Patriots are concerned about.
To set them up for failure 2-3 years from now. Stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. Don't allow yourself
I mean,
to
my question that. Would be, if that's true, why are you going to win 43-0 the first go-round? You're going to lose all those games. You got to make sure Miami wins as much as possible.
Long con,
Beetle. And if you can give them
the
two
long
wins,
con.
You should do it. You should be critical of the Patriots for letting themselves beat the Dolphins 43-zip at the start of the year, right?
That's how the best con men work. It's not just getting you to believe me. I'm gonna show you that I believe you first, right? It's the double switcheroo. It's the goose and the gander.
Bill Belichick spoke earlier today. He held his press conference. Tom Brady's press conference is coming up in about a half hour. At the end of next segment, we are giving away yet another pair of Patriots-Titans tickets for Saturday night. That's right. Coming up next, another pair of tickets that we're giving away. So keep it right here.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got to go right to this call. Sam in Boston. What's Sam in Boston have for us today?
Hey, what's up, guys? So hey. I'm thinking that since Belichick's not allowed to get rid of Brady, he wants to win a wild card game to get to the Super Bowl. My other thought was that if we're going to, you know, what's amazing about Tom Brady is that his home record's amazing. So we don't want to set him off with a loss. So the Titans can be easily beaten, you know?
Yep.
So good throw off the top. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. Thank you. That's it. That's another good theory. I hadn't thought of that one. That's the one thing they haven't done. It's right up there with 19-0, Beetle. Never won a Super Bowl with having to play in wild card weekends. So they purposely lost on Sunday.
They wanted to try it on for size.
So that they could, you know, add this to the things that they accomplished. Won the Super Bowl after having to play in wild card weekend. I'm convinced.
What were they doing in 09 when they played in the wild card round? They got smoked by the Ravens. I thought that was going to be the year they pulled that one off. Oh, man. Wow.
And by the way,
that one keeps getting thrown out there, though. Like, they've never had to win in the wild card. They've never done it that way. I mean, I get that because it's obviously much harder to play three games. And not having to play in the wild card round is one of the biggest advantages you can gain for your team in all of sports. Right? Getting a bye.
Sure.
An NFL bye is the best thing you can get. Patriots earn them so frequently, they haven't really been in that wild card spot. So that's why. That's why it's happened that way.
Yeah.
Because they've been one of the best. I hear a lot of people say, like, oh, they got no shot now. Well, what? Yeah, because it hasn't happened. But usually when they're playing in the wild card round, it's a sign that they weren't that good of a team. That's more of an indicator.
Yeah. It's not a scheduling thing.
No, it's not like that's the thing that got in the way. You know, in 2009, they would have won the Super Bowl had it not been for that pesky wild card round.
Well, why'd you have to play in the wild card round?
Even if they had the bye, they probably wouldn't have been going deep.
Yeah.
And I fear that that's part of the problem with this team, too, and I feel that way. Had they gained the bye last week, were you still picking them as a favorite to win it all?
No.
No, none of us were.
No. Not a favorite. And I still have trouble doubting them. I still got a bit of the Shaughnessy mentality until I'm proven wrong, until they show me something otherwise. But that 16 loss in week 17,
yeah,
to the Dolphins that cost them the seed. I'm not convinced that, and not to sound like some of the callers, but
please do.
Were they really trying everything to win that game?
No, they were not.
They were not.
They were not.
Were they trying to win on Sunday?
Which is, yo, God, yeah.
And again, in fact, that makes it a worse loss.
Patrick in the car is here to confirm that. He says the Patriots did not lose on purpose. Is that true, Patrick?
Yeah. I'm a big believer in trying to do everything you can to win with what you have at the time. And just when people call in and say that we're throwing games that have playoff potential for the Dolphins to get better draft picks, it doesn't make any sense to me. And they should always be winning, like giving all their all and trying to win their best.
Well, that's because you two are playing checkers while Bill Belichick is playing chess.
Chess move.
Yeah, you just can't understand. We all can't understand it.
And by the way, in 2015, they weren't trying to lose the game. They were actually thinking that they would win the game anyway while trying to establish the running game.
Mm-hmm.
And it backfired in their face and they lost. That was, you know, that wasn't like, oh, we don't care about not winning the game. They did. They thought they were going to win the game anyway. They didn't, as we now know.
They did not.
They did not. Howard is in Randolph. I don't know if you're on the air or not. Hold on. Maybe we... there we go. Howard. Howard. Yeah. Howard and Randolph, you there? Okay, I'll ask your question for you. Can the Patriots win the Super Bowl? Oh, long pause.
They need the Ravens to get popped.
I don't like their odds against the Ravens.
Well, let's back it up from the Super Bowl. Can they beat the Ravens in Baltimore?
Yes, but I don't like their chances of doing it after two straight playoff wins and a road game at Kansas City.
There it is.
I'd feel much better about their chances of beating the Ravens had they had a bye.
Yes.
And were playing at home and then had to go for one road game instead of two, and it had a bye and a home game versus wild card weekend, then right onto the road. Huge swing.
Yeah, and if the Ravens had gotten popped, you're hosting the AFC Championship game by getting a bye.
Not anymore.
Well, no, that's not true.
Well,
if you would host the AFC Championship game still.
You would need Kansas City.
No, you'd have to beat Kansas City, yeah.
You'd have to beat Kansas City. Oh, yeah, that doesn't even change. How about that?
Just get that extra game in.
Yeah, you just have to play an extra game with no rest.
Yeah. In the rain and snow on Saturday night.
In the rain and snow on a short week. Oh, fun.
Yep.
Great. Awesome.
Now, if you want to...
How do you think the weather impacts this, by the way? You know, your instinct says the teams that run well when there's weather do well in the weather. But we've had two games here this year. Well, we've had the Cowboys game where Zeke Elliott did squat, right? That had rain.
Yeah.
You had the Cleveland game. And let me look up what Cleveland did in that game. But I don't think they ran the ball particularly well in that game.
If it's going to be rainy and windy, it affects the kicking game, I think, as much as anything.
Both teams are on their fourth kicker, right? So that doesn't really matter.
It doesn't factor in all that much.
Sure, Sanu will have a big game in bad weather.
Stop it.
Wow, Jim's very negative this week.
If you want...
Wow.
This is a game you can't predict.
Year,
you cannot predict this game. Everyone's asking me, coming in the... Like, oh, what do you think? I don't know.
I agree with you.
They could get beat.
Either.
They could get blown out. They could blow out the Titans or anywhere in between. There's no way of predicting this game.
Forget what I said. Nick Chubb did run for 131 yards.
Yeah, he fumbled after a 40-yard run, remember?
Yeah. 44 yards. They ran for $159, but they only scored 13 points.
Because they turned the ball over on three consecutive plays.
That's true. Now, that was an incredible sequence.
Baker Mayfield. Here, Lawrence guy, you take the ball.
Yeah, and you know what? And you've got a disciplined team in the Titans and a coach who harps on not making mistakes, not letting those things go the wrong way.
Let's say for funsies, though, right? Because we keep talking about Kansas City. That would be, you know, the next big obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
He played Kansas City earlier this year. What was the result of that game, Beetle? The Patriots-Kansas City game. Patriots win or lose that game?
They didn't win that game.
Okay. So, there's a lot of talk about Belichick and him being able to face the same team twice in a year and, you know, a lot of these old adages. Here's how it's gone. Going back to 2005, for the Patriots who have lost to a team and then played them again in the playoffs. Are you ready? 2005, week six at the Broncos. You lost to them in week six. You lost in the divisional round. In 2006, you lost to the Colts and then lost to them in the conference championship. 2011, you lost to the Giants and then lost Super Bowl 46. 2012, you lost at the Ravens in week three and then lost the conference championship. And then 2015, the one we were talking about here just a few minutes ago, you lost at the Broncos and then lost again in the conference championship. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight cases of losing to a team in the regular season, facing them again in the playoffs, and losing to that team again. So just because you think that there's no way Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and oh, Andy Reid is such a buffoon, and they'll do some dumb stuff, well, history tells you otherwise. And it's not an indictment of the Patriots. It just actually kind of makes sense. If you lost to them once, and they're a good team, and they are a good team because you're facing them in the playoffs, chances are you're going to lose to them again.
I was just looking up how disciplined Tennessee is with penalties. The Patriots are currently the sixth best team in the league this season.
In terms of incurring penalties?
Yes.
Okay.
And Tennessee is eighth. Patriots have 94 penalties as a team. That's good for sixth best in the NFL. And Tennessee has 99, which is good for eighth best. So they're a top 10 team in terms of that type of discipline. Also in terms of plus minus in the turnovers, Tennessee ranks ninth in the NFL, ninth best. The Patriots, number one, obviously.
Sure.
The Patriots have 9 interceptions and 6 fumbles this year. Tennessee has 8 interceptions and 9 fumbles. Pretty disciplined numbers. They've done a decent job of not turning it over too much, and they've done an even better job of not getting penalized. That's the discipline that good coaching brings. That's the discipline that Mike Vrabel brings. Cleveland, on the other hand, turned the ball over on like 3 straight plays.
Right.
Because they're just a stupid team.
Well, we won't be throwing to Gilmore's side again. Oh, wait, he's open. Hold on.
Let's try it again anyway. Get in there quick. We'll get back to your calls. Also, a quick thought on the Cowboys and some speculation about what they might be doing since they haven't fired Jason Garrett. That and more on the Pats next. And before we do that, I have to give away the tickets. I thought I was going to do it.
Patriots tickets?
I was going to not do
right
it.
Right now?
Huh?
Give them away, kid. 617-931-0985.
Caller 10 on that number, the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Pats take on Tennessee this weekend for Wild Card Weekend, Saturday night at Gillette Stadium, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members, because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2 times the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. Excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. A pair of Patriots tickets up for grabs right now. Be caller 10 at 617-931-0985.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll be right back.
here at Warrior. It's cold. But since we're here, how about a hockey story for you, Hardy?
Yeah.
Did you see that John Tortorella got fined $20,000 by the NHL? $20,000. That's a lot of money, right? Especially for, I mean, I know coaches still make pretty hefty salaries themselves, but
no, that's
20K is 20K.
That's a nice vacation.
Yeah. Here is what got him fined $20,000. Here is John Tortorella's post-game rant about officiating that cost him $20,000, and this is because he was upset with an official for how much time he thought was on the clock when a whistle was blown at 19.2 seconds. The clock was at 18.1, and he believed it should have been stopped at 19.2. The reason why that would matter is because there was an apparent goal by Zach Werenski as the horn sounded at the end of regulation, at the end of the overtime period, I should say.
Right.
And it looked like that was it.
Game over.
Blue Jackets are going to win. Right. They scored a goal just in the nick of time. And Tortorella had already just argued that there should have been 1.1 more seconds on the clock. Turns out on review, that goal was not a goal because it did not cross the line prior to the horn sounding. But if there were another 1.1 seconds on the clock, it would have counted. And then they had to go to a shootout instead. And what happened? The Blue Jackets goalie gets hurt during the shootout. So he is now saying, not only did you cost us the game, you cost us our goalie who got hurt, all because you didn't reset the clock to 19.2 and you let it stand at 18.1.
He's got a legitimate argument.
Here's what he said after that game.
So the whistle blows, the whistle is blown at 19.2 on the clock. For some reason, the clock has run down a second and a tenth. To 18.1. For whatever reason, I have no idea. So instead of resetting the clock, we have them tell our captain we're not going to do it. Toronto doesn't step in. Refs don't do their freaking job. And now we lose the game and we lose our goalie. So the chain of events, if it was done right, we don't lose our goalie, we win the hockey game. So all this technology, right? The technology and getting things right. The stubbornness tonight by the officials and by the league and Toronto, however it's supposed to work, screws us. It's ridiculous.
And then he walked off. That was his entire press conference.
I know. Yeah, then he stepped away from the podium. Yeah.
Standing ovation.
Fantastic.
That was awesome.
He's right.
Colin Campbell said, from the league office, it was a judgment call by the ref who checked with the clock operator before telling him, no, we're not setting it to 19.2. And he said NHL operations in Toronto didn't see the need to get involved.
Now they got that handle down there.
They've been so good, you know, the replay booths.
Wow. To his point,
how
though,
awesome was that?
It's really good. And his, I think his overall point, and obviously, he's pissed because they lost the game and they lost their goalie, and I get that. But his overall point about the technology, and we've got all this stuff, why don't we use it? It's the same thing that we talk about when we're talking about replay review in the NFL and in the NBA. If sitting at home, we know what the call should be. We can see it. And they're fiddle-effing around on the sideline or turning the monitor around on the scoring table in the NBA. But the technology obviously exists because people on their couches know what should be correct. How is it that they can't get it right in real time in the stadium? Or, in this case, when you've also got Toronto looking at all this stuff, they screw it up. How is it possible that the people sitting at home watching on the TV set know the right thing, yet at the game, they don't know? Or, in this case, if you believe Tortorella, refuse to get involved and just won't do the right thing. It's unbelievable. What's the point of it all? What's the point of having it if you're not going to use it and implement it correctly in a case like that?
He's a national treasure, that man.
Every once in a while, he'll say something where it's like, okay, you know, just calm down a little bit. But for the most part, He's hard not to like.
I love him. I really do. That was great. They just loved it. Not my 20 grand. Way to go, Tortorella. Way to go, Torts. Way to go, boss.
That could even be a couple of nice vacations. Woo. I mean, if you really go hog wild, Beetle, you know, you would have to be a real overindulgent pig to go and spend $10,000 on a vacation. I know I would. I mean, you're talking about flying first class, staying in a combat. We don't need anything this night. No, we don't need to go out, you know, to nice restaurant. You could do two of those. Mm. You could do two of those for that 20 grand.
617-779-0985. Takeaways are coming up. Why don't we go to Alex and Franklin? Alex.
All right.
What's up, boys? First time, long time. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, just want to quickly touch on this Patriots nonsense fans. Trust me, I'm a diehard Pats fan, but these calls about Bill Belichick losing on purpose so the Dolphins can get a better draft pick is absolutely insane.
A little far-fetched for you?
Little far-fetched, but Pats fans, we are so lucky, and we just got to take it when we lose. That's all we got to do. We'll be back. Brady's not going anywhere. We'll be all right. We got to take this one season. Who knows what happens? But it's a little out there for me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, so don't embarrass yourself by trying to convince yourself that this is somehow part of a master plan. I say no right-thinking individual feels that way, but we've talked to at least one today, and there have been others this week who have floated the idea out there. It's like, it's not just about this season, Beetle. It's about next season.
You know, the whole
season after.
Brady,
screw over Miami.
The Brady element to this week. Like, this could be the last Brady game.
It could be.
It could be. I'm not that interested in that part of the story.
I think
it's overplayed, and I'm not that interested in it. Like, if it is, we'll talk about it. We'll have all offseason. We'll have the rest of all time to talk about it.
In the moment, it is a big deal. When it comes to next year, 2 year, 3 years from now, say it is his last game, this last game won't matter. This will not be talked about when you're talking about Tom Brady.
It's just like this obsession with, you know, moments and like Jim does.
I gave Jim.
Like Alf does.
Yeah, for whatever it's worth, I said, Jim, this is a week when Milestone Jim.
Milestone Jim comes out.
Well, and he should. Beetle.
First game, last game of the decade for Brady as a Patriot.
Oh, jeez.
That's right. All that stuff.
Why? Like, if it is, it is. And we'll talk about it after it happens. I don't know. I'm just not that interested in that part of it. Like, okay, well, he's going to have a last game here at some point. Maybe it is. I hope it isn't.
You just don't want it to be in any kind of a postcard snapshot. This is how it went bad. Because for me, Brett Favre had one of those last games, you know, when he threw the interception that essentially ended it for him.
But it wasn't with the team that he was sort of made his mark with.
I agree. It wasn't as a Packer. That's fine. But you don't want that type of moment. If it ends up being the last game, or last game as a Patriot, you don't want it to go out on a sour note.
Matthew had something from earlier on how bad of a loss was Miami. Hey, Matthew.
Yeah, well, you know what? Just on the subject you guys are talking about, too, I think this is the reason why that this could be, in my opinion, the top three worst loss ever behind, you know, the undefeated season. And I would say against Philly with Belichick sitting Butler and Foles winning the MVP is because if all of a sudden Brady loses against Tennessee, and, you know, how's that going to affect him coming back? And if he doesn't come back, then that's it. Or even, let's say, just for the sake of argument, they get to Kansas City, but we knew we were going to play Kansas City because 2 seed, 3 seed, you know? And now we're playing on the road. You know, either way, if he loses either of those games, there's going to be huge criticisms, and that magnifies that loss in Miami big time. And I wonder how it affects him coming back or not and his legacy.
I see, this is where you and I are going to disagree, Matthew, because I think it has zero bearing on his decision and decision-making both on his end and the team's end.
I think it probably has more to do with what the opportunities look like based on the outcome of one game in particular. And I, where I would argue against it, Beetle, is if they go on to win, and they can somehow overcome the obvious obstacles there in front of them, like having to win in Kansas City and probably having to beat the Ravens in Baltimore. They do that, and they go on to win the Super Bowl. I could see Tom Brady saying, okay, it's not going to get any more difficult or any sweeter than this, and that's when you walk away. And that's where I think a win or a loss would impact it more so than just have, you know, you lost a game in a playoff week where you really probably shouldn't have been playing, and how does that affect your future? Not as much. It factors in a little bit, but not to the extent that I think most people want to in terms of the plot and the story.
Today's takeaways come your way next.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app. They give.
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your January consultation today. Call or go online to awaken180weightloss.com and make 2020 the last time losing weight is your New Year's resolution.
Speaking of New Year's, Hardy, Jim sent us something last night that is sure to make you feel old.
I didn't care for this.
And what it is it's a blog post about how it's now 2020. And because of it now being 2020, what does that, you know, just mean in terms of math? That's all it is. As in, when World War II started, the Civil War felt as far away to Americans as World War II feels to us now.
Yep.
World War II was 75 years ago, and the Civil War was 74 years prior to World War II starting.
Correct.
Wow.
That one was like, huh, okay.
Interesting.
All right.
That's an interesting one.
Do you want to know the one that bothered me the most?
Yeah. Can
you guess?
There's one that bothered me because I'm about to turn 35.
Okay.
And it says, today's 35-year-olds, those who are turning 35 this year, were born closer to the 1940s than today. And I thought, that's... I guess that's right.
How about this? This is the one that bothered me. The Wonder Years. You guys remember the show
this
The Wonder
was
Years?
Remarkable, too. Okay.
That aired from 88 to 93, and it depicted the years from the late 60s to early 70s, right? If The Wonder Years premiered today, it would cover the years 2000 to 2005.
Crazy. Because watching The Wonder Years, that seemed so old. Like, this had taken place forever ago.
I got another one. And this one I did on my own. Happy Days premiered in 1974 and depicted the mid-50s. So if Happy Days premiered today, it would depict the year 2000.
Oh, God! What the hell?
If Happy Days premiered today, the good old Happy Days would be the year 2000.
Wow. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah.
We're back tomorrow at 10, getting ready for a playoff game. More Patriots tickets on Felger and Mads at 4:30.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And the wrench. And the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.